And hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk with CJ and Jordan. I am CJ Milano. Sitting beside me is Mr. Jordan Solomon. How are you, Jordan? What's going on?
I'm good, and welcome, everybody. Today, we'll be talking about the circus that is unfolding in Queens. We'll be talking some the Red Hot Yankees, who are getting ready to go over across the pond to play the Red Sox in London. And we'll be getting into some NBA free agency, and we'll cover you on draft that happened last week.
Okay, let's get right to it. I am going to give you my This Week in Sports in a minute. It's our new segment. If you haven't heard, last week we kind of wrapped up what's happened this past year. On today's episode, we will be telling you what happened this past week. And here we go. With the third pick in the NBA draft, the New York Knicks select RJ Barrett. No surprise there. What is surprising? Well, it looks like Kyrie and KD are very likely on their way to New York. The question remains is whether they would star over in the Barclays Center or at the Garden. Over in Queens, the Mets have lost five straight, all losses caused by their pen. Drama surrounds the entire organization over rumors that the GM is making lineups and pitching changes, and brawls break out between the media, the manager, and the players. Meanwhile, the Yankees continue to win, while superstars Judge and Giancarlo hang low. Stanton, in fact, could be out for another 2 months. The Bombers look to thicken their cushion in the AL East across the pond this weekend, with their eyes on October. There seems to be hope for New York hockey, basketball, and the Yanks. What about the Mets? So, Jordan, let's get to it right away. What about these Mets? What the hell is going on?
Well, last week we talked to you about how horrible the bullpen's been. And since we left you last week, the Mets bullpen has had the worst week I have ever seen bullpen have. In the last 18 games, the Mets bullpen has a 7.76 ERA, 7.93 in June, and they've blown a MLB high 20 saves in 2019. It's getting out of hand. Like, I don't even get upset anymore when I watch this bullpen. I just laugh. Because I've actually never seen anything like this. Edwin Diaz, the prize offseason possession, has a 4.94 ERA. It's gotten to the point where not a single member in the Mets bullpen has a GPA and has an ERA lower than my GPA. And my GPA is not bad. It really is getting ridiculous. On yesterday, the Mets were down 1-0 going into the ninth. Had a huge home run from Todd Frazier, put them up 2-1. They even got an insurance run to go up 3-1. Edwin Diaz comes in, trying to make the Mets not lose for a fifth straight game. Gives up two bombs, one to Franco, one to Segura, and the Phillies walk it off. The Phillies embarrassed the Mets this past week. Gerrit Cohen even said at the end of the game, and the Phillies bamboozled the Mets once again. If you told me before the season started that Jeff McNeil would be second in the league in average, hitting close to .350, if Pete Alonso would have 27 home runs, which is second in the National League, I would say, and Todd Frazier would have an OPS over 800, and that Jason Vargas would have an ERA under .35, I would say, wow, the Mets are in first place. But this bullpen has been so horrible that the Mets are not in first place. Not only that, they're closer to last place than they are to first place. They are only like up in the morning. They're like 11 games back in the Braves now. This is the most frustrating Mets team I've ever had to watch.
Wow, it is absolutely devastating there. Do you think there's some tension in the clubhouse? Do you think there's guys kind of giving the stink eye to Edwin Diaz? Do you think there's things going on? I always wonder that. If these guys perform so terribly night after night, and especially him being, a signing, a new player on the team. He didn't come up with the organization.
I don't know. That's a good question, because I was at the game on Wednesday night, and I was watching Alonso come off the field. I was watching McNeil come off the field. I was watching Conforto come off the field. They looked depleted, because these guys, the Mets lineup, I looked up and down the Mets lineup. This is not one of those Mets lineups of old where you look up and down like, wow, this this lineup like isn't good. How can they score runs? I looked up and down this Mets lineup and I said, I'm like, wow, this is a solid 1 through 8 lineup that can hurt you in many different ways. This Mets team is good. They're genuinely a good team, just with a horrible bullpen that makes them not able to win games.
Right.
So the answer to your question is yes. I mean, maybe they hide it, but I'm sure that they're very frustrated.
It's extremely frustrating.
Night in and night out, doing their best just to watch the lead slip away in the late innings.
And of course it's frustrating, and it has to be. But I wonder, does it come out, especially when you obviously have a manager who doesn't know how to manage a team? Is there any sort of, like, cohesion going on there in the clubhouse?
I mean, we won't know. It's possible. But, I mean, you also have to realize that the Mets bullpen, they're trying. It's not like they're not trying. No one goes out there and doesn't try. They're definitely trying, but, like, it's like, I don't know.
But even it's not Luke, working. It's not about Seth it's Lugo, not about just well, trying I, now.
What was that again?
It's not about just trying.
Yeah, it's, you have to perform. You have to perform. You're a major league baseball player.
You're getting paid big dollars to come out there. This is your job, is to save games, to keep the lead for your team so they can win. You're carrying it over. That is your job description. And if you can't do that job description, then people are going to be upset. Your coworkers around you, because it's hurting them too now.
Yes, undoubtedly they're upset. I would be upset, but I don't know if causing fights in the clubhouse will really fix anything. But even Seth Lugo, who I praised on the show last week, even he has had two really rough outings. He's blown 2 saves since we spoke about him last week. And you mentioned fighting in the clubhouse. That's another thing I want to bring up. There's lots of teams in the MLB that are bad. They're under 500, not performing, not reaching expectations, and are not in playoff contention.
Right.
There's plenty of teams that are like that. There's only one team that's like that and is a disgrace to their fan base and is the laughing stock of the MLB. The Mets, when Terry Collins and Sandy Alderson were running the show, they knew how to control the clubhouse, control the media, and not let this disgraceful mentality the Mets have come out. It all starts at the top with Fred and Jeff Wilpon. These guys, the Mets have been dysfunctional for 30 years. Managers have changed. GMs have changed. Players have changed. Coaching staffs have changed. 2 guys have stayed at the top, and that is why the Mets have been dysfunctional this whole time. And the Mets couldn't have handled the situation with Tim Healy and Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas any worse. As you all know, Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas went after Tim Healy, a reporter, in the clubhouse after the Cubs-Mets game, one of the games in the Mets blew this past week on Sunday night. And the day after, the Mets issued an apology, and then Mickey Callaway spoke to the media and didn't apologize. Then eventually he called everybody into his office and finally apologized. Jason Vargas spoke to the media and refused to apologize. And even after he started the game on Wednesday, they asked him again, "So Jason, you want to like elaborate on the situation?" And he said, "Well, obviously, only one side of the story is being shown here. Only one side. My side of the story." So the reporters asked him, "So Jason, right now, can you tell us your side of the story?" Jason said, "No." So how can you expect people to not think you're the bad guy in the situation if you're not going to tell your side of the story?
It's absolutely.
Then you're not going to apologize to the guy that you physically threatened in his workplace.
It's absolutely inexcusable. When you work in New York, you have to be able to take anything the media says and let it roll off of you. Mickey Callaway obviously can't do that. He's obviously afraid of his job being taken from him. This guy is
There's
just...
people suggesting that not only is Mickey Callaway afraid of his job being taken away, but these recent antics have not been because of that, but because like, he wants his job taken. He's trying to give, and this is his method of getting basically a puppet for the Mets front office.
You think it's that bad where he wants his job?
I don't know, but I have seen reports, credible Mets reporters, saying that this is what they think is going on.
Hey, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, but you know, the all the blame is put on Mickey because he's obviously gone at the end of this season. So it doesn't not make sense. I mean, it sounds a little
And
ridiculous, but
there's also reports coming out that Bernie Van Vakinen, first year GM of the Mets, former agent, first year any team, first year front office member of any team, is texting the coaching staff during games from his couch on when to remove pitchers.
do you think this is true?
Who believe that the day that DeGrom was taken out early against Diamondbacks when he wasn't hurt but maybe had a little bit of comfort? That Bernie Van Wagenen texted the coaching staff, get him out. And that day, the Mets blew the game, and DeGrom was dealing and visibly upset when they took him out of the game.
I mean,
It is
I don't think it's
getting
impossible.
ridiculous in
I don't think it's
games.
impossible.
And I don't know. It's getting a little bit embarrassing. And not only that with Bernie Van Wagenen, but there is a situation where the Mets void Cespedes' contract because he fell off his horse in on his ranch, maybe, and that he shouldn't be doing that when he's rehabbing. So the Mets are at will to void his contract. But then you have to dig deeper into this. Who is the man that helped Cespedes sign that contract? Who is earning the 10% commission on that huge Cespedes contract?
Right.
The current GM of the New York Mets, Bernie
Right.
Van Wagenen.
And that's why this whole, you know, agent turned GM thing just sometimes, I don't know, maybe it can't work. Maybe it's impossible. Leave it to the Mets to try it out.
I
Leave
mean,
it
I'm
to
not gonna
it.
lie to you. I liked Bernie Van Wagenen a lot. He came out swinging in the offseason. He made some big moves. He was talking smack. He was saying, "Come get us." Well, guess what? They got us.
Yeah, they got you. You know what? Talk doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere. Look at the organization in the Bronx. Look at how professional. Look at what they put together. And you know what? I've read the book Inside the Empire, and I said I would give you a review, and I will. In this book, they detail how very professional, how well thought out the entire organization is at all times. And
Yes.
when episodes like Clint Frazier happen, they get sent on down to the minors, and he will be gone soon. Because you want to know what? Giancarlo Stanton goes down, Cameron Maybin goes down, you lose two outfielders. You mean to tell me that Mike Tauchman is a more talented player than Clint Frazier? To be honest, the Yankees don't care enough. They don't want to hear from Clint Frazier again. They don't want the New York media in contact with him. Keep him over in Scranton. Let him play out in Scranton. We don't want the New York media talking to him. He's giving a bad name to the Yankees. The Yankees do not want to show up on the not top 10 list for something
Yeah,
like this.
CJ, but if Aaron Judge, obviously Aaron Judge is a great guy with the media, he's a great face of any franchise, but if he wasn't, if he had a Clint Frazier attitude, I really do believe that the Yankees could let it slide.
Yeah, but look at the talent behind Clint Frazier. Look at the potential talent. Would you not want him starting for the New York Mets?
I've said this before, I would love Clint Frazier on my team.
Listen, this guy is talent. The Yankees don't care. Okay, if he had Aaron Judge talent, maybe. But they'd have a long, hard talk with
The Yankees
him.
aren't going to pass up on someone who's going to hit 50 home runs a season for them. No, he could go in the media and he could be a Chris Sale or Matt Harvard in the media and not even speak to them. And they would be fine with that if he's hitting 50 home runs and hitting 330.
You see, before reading this book, okay, I'd say, okay. After reading this book, I see how much this organization cares about what it says, what it sounds like to the people of New York, to the people of the tri-state area, to the people of the country. It's a national organization. Everybody knows the Yankees. Everybody knows the pinstripes. And you know what? These players' voices get out there, and if they say something stupid, it ends up on the front pages.
I disagree with you. I think winning trumps everything. And if you have a player who's a star of a team, who is leading your team in any statistic, and even if they're bad with the media, you keep them up. And I think the Yankees will keep them up. If Clint Frazier's a flawed player on the field. We have to realize this. Clint Frazier, he's a solid hitter. He's, I think, hitting like 280 with like a little bit of pop here. But he, while he can play the outfield, he's a flawed player. If
But
he wasn't
over
flawed,
Mike Tapman, you're telling
Clint
me that.
Frazier could field this position, maybe he would be up right now.
No, you're telling me that Mike Tauchman, a guy who's barely see the field this year,
I'm not
in
telling
the
you that.
Bronx,
Also,
and
I
you're
think that
telling me
people
that
are
he's
over.
better, and that's
I
why he's
also
up.
think that people are overlooking this. The Yankees are taking Mike Tauchman to a 2-game series in London. Who's to say that when he comes back, knowing that Stanton's going to be out for 2 months, who's to say that when they get back to the United States, they don't send Tauchman down and Clint Frazier's out with for the long haul?
Maybe.
I think people are overreacting to this whole Mike Tauchman over Clint Frazier situation.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I didn't say I disagree with it. I did not say I disagree with not calling Clint Frazier up. I understand the organization has a certain look that they're trying to portray to the people of the world. They're playing, you know, across the pond. They're playing in a different country. They're trying to portray themselves in a very professional way across the pond. And I'm just comparing them to the Mets organization where they don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what clown they put out on the field. It doesn't. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It really is. It
And
really is.
if you look at this past Mets offseason, Brody Van Magenen, he said, come get us. He made a lot of big moves. He said they were the best team in the NL East. Look at his big moves. Edwin Diaz, 4.94 ERA, 4 blown saves. Jeurys Familia, 7.81 ERA. He's on the injury list for the second time this season. Cano, 6.28 OPS. Jed Lowry isn't close to playing. Hasn't played. I don't know if he will play this season. Justin Wilson, we've barely seen him. 4.28 ERA. Then Luis Avalon, barely seen him. 9.28 ERA. This has been a disastrous season for the Mets, especially in the bullpen, and it just needs to come to an end.
You're ready to move on, correct?
So let's move on. We don't need to talk about the Mets anymore. I don't think people want to hear about them.
Okay. Yankees, Sox, in London. First of all, Jordan, I want to ask you, do you think that this trip to London is fruitful? Do you believe that baseball can ever be a thing in Europe? Can it ever be watched? I mean, you know, they tried to. We have to remember that the Premier League and the European Cup and, you know, the UEFA League, they all come to America to play. You know, but when they do come here, they don't always bring their A team. This is the Yankees and Red Sox in regular season play. Not only is it regular season play, we're nearing the All-Star break. The Red Sox are finding themselves being pulled away from the Yankees in the standings. So this is a very important 2 games for the Red Sox. It's important for the Yankees, of course. They want to cushion that lead, but it's very important for the Red Sox because 2 games lost to the first place in the AL East can really be quite a blow, especially when it comes to the end of the season where every game counts. So do you think this is fruitful, especially that the Sox are using these 2 games as home games? So they're getting 2 less games in a sold-out Fenway.
I think it's a nice thing. I think it's nice to show the world our sport. But I mean, I don't really care, honestly. It's nice. It's a couple games. The Yankees and Red Sox players get a little bit of vacation until they get to explore London for a day. It's relaxing for them. I think it's a nice thing.
Right. I mean, it's
they get to play in a unique stadium. I have no issues with this.
Do you know that center field is only 385 feet out?
Really? Only 385? And people are making a big deal out of this. Like, they made it out to seem like it was like 500.
No, it's only 385. They thought that they were going to make these fences way, way back, but they're actually way, way in. So it should be interesting. But, you know, the way I feel about it is that it's fine. Like, great, let's show the world our sport. But when we play these games, say, in Japan, Japan already has a big fan base in baseball. A lot of them are already MLB fans. So we send a team, usually, who has a Japanese player, a big name, like a Hideki Matsui, when the Yankees went out there in the early 2000s. Or, you know, you send whoever. You send the Angels because they have Ohtani. Whoever you send because they have a certain player who's going to draw a crowd. My question is, how are these crowds going to be in London? And if they're not baseball fans, why are you sending the Yankees and Red Sox, who are in a race? You know what I mean? They're in a race. These home games, if I was a Red Sox fan, I'd be especially mad because having a game at home against the Yankees is advantageous over having a game across the pond. Whether you're wearing your white jersey or your gray jersey, it really doesn't matter. You're not going to have many Red Sox fans in London cheering for you. You're not playing with the green monster that you're so used to playing with out and left. I mean, there's things, you don't have home field advantage, basically, is what I'm trying to say. You know, whatever, you might be making the proceeds off of that, but that doesn't really affect the players. The players aren't getting that advantage that they would get in Fenway, and I think it's unfair to the Red Sox during a regular season race.
Yeah, I see your point, but I still have no issues with it. It's a two-game series in London. I
But
think
two
it's nice
games,
for the player. I think the players are gonna enjoy it.
but you know how close the race could be at the end of the year. You know that the Yankees
I
could
do, and I
potentially
think that
win the AL East by one game, and that
if
one
the
game
Yankees.
could be one game in London where the Red Sox players could be saying, if we played that game in Fenway, we could have won. And of course, that's a lot of what ifs, but you never know.
I really think that if the Yankees beat the Red Sox in the season series by one game. If the Yankees win the East by one game over the Red Sox, I do not think people would be looking back on the London series.
I would if I was a Sox fan. That's how spiteful I am. Anyway, Giancarlo Stanton is hurt once again. And you know what? This poor guy cannot catch a break in New York. He really can't. He absolutely cannot catch a break. I mean, the fans already hate him. He strikes out in his first at bat back, and the fans are booing. He hasn't done anything for this organization that has been so wonderful. He has identical numbers to Judge last year. Identical. But the Yankee fans revere Judge. They love him. He came up with them. He's the friendly face that always is smiling out in right field. Giancarlo, not great with the media. He does not get clutch hits. His at bats are terrible. Sometimes he looks terrible when he's up at the plate. He stands there, looks at pitches down the middle of the plate for strike three called. Time after time again, and now he's off the field for another 2 months. And I'm hearing radio reporters saying, "Don't worry about it. Wait until October. It all is about October." Well, you know what? A diehard fan like me is watching as many games as possible. And when I don't see Giancarlo Stanton on the field when he's not there, I can't grow affection for him. That idea, that image of him being off the field, being injury prone, being strikeout prone, is the thing that's grilled into my mind. And I can't get off of that. That's all it is. That's all there is to it. That's all I want to say about Giancarlo. I think it's going to be very tough for him. He's going to have to make a big, big bang in the postseason if he ever wants Yankee fans to revere him like they do Judge, like they even do Gary Sanchez, like they do Didi Gregorius. He's going to have to do quite a bit of work. He's going to have to prove that he is a player that should be in pinstripes, that deserves to wear the uniform.
So you brought up Aaron Judge, and that's something I want to bring up because yesterday they had the All-Star voting for the All-Star starters. Do you think Aaron Judge should be an All-Star this year?
Absolutely not.
That's all I wanted
Absolutely
to bring
not.
up.
And
It
you
is a
know what?
disgrace that he's even in the conversation. He has six home runs this year. He's only had 91 at bats. There's no world where he should be an All-Star this year.
Do you know when the lineups are coming out?
I think that the starters were named yesterday. I don't know
The
off the top of
starters.
my head who
Okay,
started.
so in the next episode, I want us to research this. We're going to research the lineups, and I think we should come up with our own lineups.
But I did look at it a little bit. I didn't really have much of an issue with it. I saw that Freeman starting at first base over Bell and Alonso in the National League, which I'm not completely against. Freeman is having an outstanding year. I really think Josh Bell should be getting the starting nod at first base. He's has like 70 RBIs already. But I'm fine with Freeman. Freeman is having a great year this
No,
year.
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and most of the All-Stars are going to make sense, but I think we should come up with our own lineups because there's probably a few outliers in there that are fan favorites over the numbers.
Yes,
But
definitely.
we are going to let's move on to basketball.
Okay.
Let's move on to the Nets and Knicks Nets and Knicks draft picks. What do you think? I mean, obviously we knew Barrett was going to the Knicks, and it looks like the Nets want to trade their pick away. So, what do you think of free agency coming up? I know that Mr. Aiden Sweeney has texted you some of his free agency speculation as we do wait for Sunday night at 6 p.m. when free agency opens up for the entire league, and we're going to hear some of these guys start to put pen to paper and sign some contracts.
Yeah, so the big ones, the big guys that everybody wants to know where they're signing is obviously Kyrie, KD, and Kawhi. So I'll let you know what Mr. Sweeney thinks. KD, he thinks he's gonna be a Knick, but he's still hopeful that he'll sign with the Brooklyn Nets. But he does think KD is gonna end up in Madison Square Garden. Kyrie. All signs are pointing that Kyrie will be a Net playing in Brooklyn. I agree with this. Aiden agrees with this. So I really think that Kyrie is going to end up in Brooklyn. And Kawhi, he thinks, is going to end up with the Los Angeles Clippers. So he's going to be leaving Toronto and going to LA, but not to join forces with LeBron and AD, to play with the Clippers, where he can be a star and compete. For an NBA title with his own team, not behind two other stars with the Lakers. What do you think about
See,
all of
that,
this?
that's an odd little prediction. Kawhi going to
So
the
the no, that's not. I've seen a lot of people thinking that Kawhi is
I no,
gonna be a Clipper,
I've seen a lot of
and
people saying that, but
his.
I tend to disagree with it. I think Toronto loves him. Toronto loves
I
him.
think Toronto loves him too. I think the two options for Kawhi right now. I think the two likely destinations for Kawhi is either staying in Toronto or going to join the Clippers in Los Angeles because Kawhi is from LA and I don't think he's going to consider the Lakers at all because he doesn't want to be the second or third superstar in a team. He wants to be the guy leading a team. The Clippers are already good,
See,
but
but who
to
doesn't want to be
have.
loved? Who doesn't want to be loved by Toronto? Who doesn't want that?
I think they would love him in LA. If he played for the Clippers, but
Yeah, but
obviously he's
we'll, yeah, but
already
then
loved
they'll,
by
then all of
Toronto.
Canada will hate him.
I don't think they would. I think they would understand. He won them a championship for the first time. I don't think he would be hated. I think that if Kawhi went to LA, his first game back in Toronto, he will not be greeted with boos. He would be greeted with a standing ovation.
Okay, that's possible. I mean, Toronto fans are very brutal, though. They're very, very brutal, and I think you'll have some people that are bitter over it.
I think you'll have maybe some mixed in boos, but I think that they will still revere the man in Toronto. He won them their first ever championship. But
Okay.
obviously, if he stays in Toronto, he's already after one season, you could argue that he's the best ever Canadian basketball player. Not well, he's obviously not Canadian, but basketball player that's played in Canada.
Yeah, sure. And why wouldn't you want to stay that way? He's loved in the whole
Yeah,
nation. He's
but
got a whole
he's a
nation
Los
behind
A
him.
he's a California kid. He's from Los Angeles. Do you think he wants to spend the next 6 years living in Canada? And it
Well,
gets cold. Basketball is not a summer sport. It's a winter sport. It gets cold there in December and
absolutely.
January.
Absolutely. If the weather makes him go to LA, the weather, I mean, that's whatever. That's
Toronto's a very nice city. It looks very nice, but I wouldn't want to live there in the winter.
No. Me neither. Me neither. But when you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play basketball,
Yeah, but
you may change my mind.
he could get paid millions and millions of dollars to play basketball in Los Angeles,
Yeah,
where it's
absolutely.
not 0 degrees.
Absolutely, but you have a fan base behind you, and he would in LA too, but you have a fan base behind you in the whole country. The whole country loves you. And then, anyway. So there's this new story out, and I wanted to bring it up. We don't have a ton of time left. But I wanted to bring it up about how you have the NBA commissioner saying that he wants the owners to be called and referred to as governors now, because the term owner has a slave owner mentality from all the way back then. I personally think this is absolutely ridiculous. An owner is an owner of a team. There's two types of businesses. You have privately owned businesses, and you have publicly investor-owned businesses. And when a privately owned business like an NBA basketball organization, is headed by someone. They're called an owner because they own the team. They make the decisions. That's all there is to it. The NBA is not a business. The NBA is an association of those owners, and now you're having it be an association of governors? Makes absolutely no sense. Governors, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree with you. All sports, they call the person who runs the team the owner. They own the team. They own, like, that's what they do. They own it. They own the arena. They own the players that play on it. They own the coaching staff. They own the concession staff. It's theirs. They
Well,
make
see,
the
I
money
think
off of it.
I you see you pointed it out right there. You said they own the players. They really don't own the players. They pay the players to play for
Yeah, they
them.
pay. Yeah, this is true. They pay the players. The players are free men. They can do what they want. They leave. They go home. It's not like they own. It's not like they can dictate what the players do on off the basketball
They
court.
get millions of dollars to play a game. I love to play a game. I'd love to get paid millions of dollars to talk sports. You know what? You could call. I'd call you whatever you wanted to if you were paying millions of dollars to sit here and talk sports. But listen. Listen to what Draymond Green says. He says, you shouldn't say owner. It should be called CEO or chairman. When you think of a basketball team, you think of the players that make that team. And this is from CBSSports.com. What are you talking about, Draymond? What? Like, do you realize how much money you get paid to just play a game, to dribble a ball? Are you kidding me? What is going through your mind where you think this man who's writing a check to me to go out there and play basketball should be called a governor? And governor's a horrible choice, too. If you're gonna think of any other name besides owner, governor is probably the worst choice. The choice that I'm gonna make fun of. I think it's absolutely dehumanizing to be called a governor, unless you're an elected official.
I agree with you. I think see, even if they're gonna, if they're, I think owner is fine, but if they're gonna change it, CEO or chairman is, it doesn't matter. I don't really care about the story. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's stupid. It's just, I guess there's nothing to write about.
It's dumb though. I mean, it's this politically correct culture that we just force on people. People don't realize how lucky we are to live in this country where we're arguing about what do we call the head people, the guys that own these organizations. There's some real racism going on across the world. And you know what? Maybe there is real racism going on in this country. But it's not in the NBA. It's not in the NBA. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars. Doesn't matter what color you are, obviously. Obviously, it doesn't matter what color you are when you play basketball or any sport, because the guy who has the most talent gets paid the most. He goes to the team where he wants to go. And in the NBA, these players have more power than any other sports organization, than the MLB. They can go where they want. This is why free agency is so interesting, because we're thinking about the players. When we're talking about any other sport, you don't say, "Oh, Kawhi is gonna want to go to LA." It's not always like that in other sports. It's who's gonna give him the most money. You have guys like Dallas Keuchel, and I'm not comparing to him to Kawhi. I'm not saying he has the same amount of talent baseball wise, but he is a major league pitcher for sure. And it took him a very long time to find a team that wanted him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. The players really do dictate the NBA. It's the teams are smaller, so that makes it easier for players to be stars like LeBron James. Compare LeBron James to Mike Trout. Mike
Right.
Trout could go down as the best MLB player ever. Obviously, LeBron James is in the same situation where he
Without a
can go
World
down.
Series ring.
Yes. Obviously, LeBron can go down as the best NBA player ever, but if you walk down the street, I think most people, if you're not, unless you're a baseball fan, you don't know who Mike Trout is if he's passing you. Like,
Right.
if you line up 10 random dudes and put Mike Trout in the middle and ask some random person who doesn't watch baseball which one is Mike Trout, I don't think they would be able to get it.
Right. Well, LeBron's a celebrity. LeBron's a
Yes,
celebrity for
LeBron
sure.
is an international celebrity.
Okay, as we're rolling, Jordan, I want to get through hots and nots. You go. So let's discuss our hots and nots from last week. You picked a hot. Who'd you pick?
I picked the hot. I picked Pete Alonso, and he was hot last week.
He was extremely hot. He won National League Player of the Week, if I'm not
He did.
mistaken. So that was a fabulous pick by you. I picked Giancarlo Stanton, as you all know, went down with another injury. He played well in the beginning of the week, then he went down with an injury.
Yes, he did hit a home run.
He hit a home run, his first home run of the year, mind you, which is absolutely embarrassing. It's almost July and he's hitting his first home run of the year. That's absolutely terrible. So he was hot for him, but I will give you this one. I will say Pete Alonso was hotter, much hotter than Giancarlo Stanton. And you know what? Even though Giancarlo was not hot, we have to hope as Yankee fans that he comes back in a healthy
And
condition.
I'll tell you what, I'm not too happy with Mr. Giancarlo because on my fantasy team, and he is not helping me.
You gonna try to trade him or something? Get
I
rid of
mean,
him?
I'm gonna try. I'm thinking about dropping him.
You have to. No, you can't drop him. Well,
I
will
don't
our
know.
league allow you to drop him? Will our league allow you to drop him?
I think it would, but like, I'm not getting anything out of him for the next 2 months.
I know, but I mean, we have three IL spots in that league, so you have room.
Yeah, but you have to keep in mind that my other IL spots are being used up by Seager, Story, Jeanette, Syndergaard, Hill, and Mondesi.
Okay, so you have a little bit of a mess going on, and that's why you're not doing wonderfully in this league. Well,
I'm in second
you're in
place.
second place, but by a wide margin. I mean, I'm in
You're two
first
games up
place.
on me. We play in 2 weeks, CJ.
I'm in first place by a wide margin,
You have a two-game lead on me
and
and
I'm killing
2 weeks.
Sweeney this week.
I
This
know,
is a
but.
great Sports Talk with CJ and Jordan league. I mean, it's not always, you know, there's not just the four of us in this league. There's 10 people, but it just so happens that, you know, Jordan and I are at the top of things, and Sweeney and the Rye guy are down at the bottom of things. Although the Rye guys.
We play in 2 weeks, and I'm ready.
Okay.
I think I might have Story back by then. I'll have Jeanette
Okay, we'll
back by
see.
then.
But
I'll have Mondesi
the Rye
back.
guy's threatening. I mean, he's been really good these past 2 weeks. He's had the last week
Yeah.
he tied my score for the top score in the league, and I think the week before that he had the highest score in the league.
CJ, I'm just letting you know I am coming. I'm
Okay.
coming for you.
Okay, so who's your hot or not for this week?
Oh my God, I didn't even pick one. I'll pick one of my fans too. I'm gonna say that this is an oddball, but he's been very hot of late. He had a great game against the Yankees yesterday. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is gonna be hot this week.
Okay. That is good. I am going to say that, and this is tough because I feel bad for her, I do. I'm gonna go with another not because I'm a negative person, and I'm going to say that Serena Williams will not perform well in Wimbledon and may even be out of the tournament by the time we speak next week.
That's
And
her break. Because if she's still, you automatically lose.
well, yes, but I feel bad for her because this, I mean, she's getting towards the end of her career. She hasn't tied the record for the most Grand Slams. Margaret Court has that record, and people still call Serena the best female athlete period to ever live. So that should be interesting, but I'm gonna pick her as a not. I'm gonna cheer for her. I want you to win this week. I really do. I just have this bad feeling that she's gonna lose somewhere. So that will wrap it up for us here today. We thank you all for listening once again as we close things out. Next week we will be talking some Wimbledon, as I already did this week. We're going to assess NBA free agency. Hopefully we can get Sweeney and the Rye guy on the line to talk to us about that. And we're also going to reassess the All-Star lineups that are out and talk a little bit about that. Thank you all for listening.